Thank you so very much for this beautiful morning in which we can gather together and worship you, Lord. What a privilege, what an honor, Lord, that we still live in a country where there's this freedom to be able to express our faith and to be able to live it in a way which pleases you. We ask for your hand to protect us and to guide us this morning. We ask for your blessing. We pray the Holy Spirit, Lord, would be the teacher and be the one who is motivating us, Lord, to pay attention and to desire you more. Thank you for your faithfulness. We ask you, Lord God, this morning to forgive us our sins and our shortcomings as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. And we ask your blessing on our time of music, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to go back to John chapter 12 as we've been going through this gospel verse by verse and chapter by chapter. I think it's been close to a year, and we made it to chapter 12. Amazing. Lazarus, Martha and Mary, as we've discovered over the last few weeks, are a wonderful family that love the Lord. And more importantly, the Lord loved them. Isn't it true what 1 John says? We love him because he first loved us. Everything we do in our relationship with the Lord is first because of what he's done for us. In other words, it's a reaction. The relationship, the encounter with Christ, brings about a reaction, a response. And we see then in chapter 12 that both Martha and Mary and Lazarus at a celebration, a dinner celebration. Remember, we talked about that last week. Celebrating life, new life, resurrected life. Celebrating the power of Jesus Christ that was witnessed by this family and touched this family in a dramatic way. And so they're having this party. We talked about Martha last week. She served. And today we're going to look at from verse 3, I'm just going to read to verse 8 if you'd stand with me so we can get the main thrust of today's sermon and the main theme of today's sermon. From verse 3 of John 12, it says, Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, Leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. Let's pray. Father, so thankful and grateful for this time that we have set apart and dedicated to you. And we ask you to speak to us through your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us with the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And also, Lord, with our own free will, we ask you, Lord, to help us to surrender and to yield ourselves to whatever it is that you would have us to learn and to whatever it is that you would have us to take from today's message. We pray, Lord, and ask that we would leave different than how we arrive because of your word and because of our encounter with you. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Thank you. I'm going to use this little statement as a filter for today's sermon. I'd kind of like to give you something to kind of use as a way to think about the sermon. And from what I just read, this leaps out at me and impacts, I think, the way we can interpret what Jesus is saying here and what's happening. And that's ultimately what we want, right? We want to understand what's going on so that we can take it and let it sink and penetrate into our soul. And hopefully we also, like Mary, will do the things that she did that so impressed Christ that he defends her. He literally steps up and shuts down the arrogant and proud Judas Iscariot. And so the condition of one's heart will reveal itself in one's actions. So if I want to know, or if I come to discover what your heart's condition is, I can get there by looking at your actions. Right? That makes sense? Your actions reveal your heart. What's in your heart is manifested by the way you live, by the things you do. We can't get away from it. You can say one thing and do another, and you're therefore a hypocrite. You were wearing a mask. The true you is hidden behind a facade. But that facade is broken and shattered by your actions. So to preach the gospel, to live the gospel, is more important than to proclaim it with words only. Not that you shouldn't. Of course you should. But if your verbal message is different than your actions, then you're not to be believed. Amen? I think it's important to see that. And what we discover in her heart and by her actions is that she has the fragrance of worship literally pouring out on Christ. There's a fragrance in her actions toward Christ. And it's not accidental, I believe, that it's this ointment that is used to describe what her heart is actually doing. Let's look at it real quick. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment, at verse 3, made from pure nard. Good stuff. Anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Now, I do want to say this before I get into John's application of this particular event. Matthew mentions this same event, as does Luke. We're going to look at that for a minute, too, for briefly. But don't go there. I'm just going to run through this real quick. In Matthew 26, verse 13, you guys write that down? Matthew 26, verse 13, Jesus said this about Mary when she does what she does here in John. She says, "Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." That's a pretty powerful thing here. And the evidence that that's true is the fact that I'm reading from the Gospel of Matthew, and it shows the faithfulness of God's Word, because that's what we're doing today. We're talking about what she did. Notice the words, if you do go to that chapter 26 of Matthew, verse 13, it says, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. So wherever the gospel is preached, not just then and there, but here and now. It was pretty impressive that the Lord would say that wherever you go with the good news of the gospel, the death of Jesus Christ for our sins, His burial and resurrection, the good news that there's new life in Christ. Wherever that message is preached, whether it be in Rialto, California, whether it be in Sri Lanka or at the tip of the Argentina, wherever you may go, Japan, North Pole, doesn't matter. Wherever the gospel is preached, he's saying that what she has done should also be mentioned. That's pretty much of an honor, isn't it? But what did she do? What did Mary do that Jesus recognized? What did Mary do that we should do? Worship. And how she worshiped is what we're going to look at today. It says there that in verse number 3, she took out a pound of expensive ointment, costly ointment. So what she did was costly. What she did was expensive. What she did required a sacrifice on her part. The very reaction of Judas tells us that, because he thinks it's a waste. He says, hey, and he gets this real pompous kind of, an attitude of, man, we could have helped a lot of poor people, making himself look good, helping the poor. Why waste it on Jesus? And Jesus defends her. There's also this incident with Mary where we discover that she always goes to the feet of Jesus. Notice that? Whatever we read about Mary, her position is at the feet of Jesus. It's a position of humility, as I said, of worship. There was an incident in Luke's gospel, another incident before this, where they went to this village where Martha lived and Mary, and it says there in Luke chapter 10, verse 38-42, as they went their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Remember that? Well, what does Mary do? Let's because remember, we just read, what she has done should be mentioned in memory of her wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world. Okay, so what does she do? She sat at the Lord's feet and listened. She was a listener at the Lord's feet. She was a learner. She was a true disciple. And we discover in this story and in this incident before, Martha was distracted with much serving, and we talked about her last week, so we're not going to get into it today. And she went up to him, that is Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. So she's distracted, she's complaining, and questioning the Lord's motives, don't you care? And ultimately giving him orders, tell her to help me. She's just lost, that is Martha. We saw that last week. But then Mary, this is what Jesus says of her, that first incident when they met at their house. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion or the good part, which will not be taken away from her. What will not be taken away from Mary? What will not be taken away from the true worshipers of God? Sitting at the feet of Jesus with humility and listening to his word. This is such an important part of our Christian faith. Romans chapter 10 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. There is no magic dust. There is no wand that I can, wave at you that makes you or gives you greater faith. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. So it's so important for us to understand that we need to listen and open our hearts to what the Lord would say to us through his word. It's so important to actually chew on it and to meditate on it and to ask questions about God's Word and to see, how does this apply to me? What does this mean to me? What's the significance of this? So that our lives and our hearts can be transformed. There's no other way for it to happen. It's not magic. Oh, Lord, give me more faith. You know what he'll say? Sit at my feet and listen. That's why it's so important to come to a sermon. That's why it's so important to be at a Wednesday night Bible study or a women's Bible study. Because when you get God's Word in you, what you're actually getting is God in you. You're getting that experience, that encounter with the Lord Himself. This is how He planned it. This is His design. Once we discover it, we realize how much of a blessing it is to our lives. So what happens here? We find Mary chose the best thing, and it wasn't going to be taken away from her. So now, back to our John chapter 12, it says she takes out this pound of expensive ointment, and what we discover is costly sacrificial worship by Mary is what the Lord is honoring. He says there that it was done for the day of my burial. And how much did it cost? We discover in another passage, it was 300 denarii. Now, we did this last week. 300 denarii, how much is that in relationship to today's economy? Well, one denarii is equal to one day's work. So it would be 300 days' work. Now, I'm going to just say you make $10 an hour. Okay, let's see if my math works. $10 an hour, you work 8 hours a day. Oh, how much is that? 80. And you work 5 days a week. So 8 times 5? 400 times 300. Is that what we're, or is it 400 a week? In how many weeks? 52? Anybody got a calculator? I think we came up to $24,000 last week. We looked at this. That's no small amount of money. That's not chump change. That's a sacrifice. It was costly. And the one thing we see is that worship is costly. Now, some people might get confused because Christianity is about a free gift called salvation. She wasn't trying to buy her salvation. She wasn't trying to earn her way into heaven. She was already saved. She had already declared that she was a believer. Her heart and her expression of worship through her giving, in this case, sacrificial giving, is a consequence or a byproduct of a heart that's been changed. This is what happens when you've been touched. It's not something you do to earn it, that is salvation. It's what comes out of your heart once you are. Because, as I said, the condition of one's heart will reveal itself in its actions. So she pours out this perfume on the feet of Jesus, not even thinking twice of its cost. She wasn't trying to analyze and get down to the very last penny of what it was going to cost her. She pours it out. And that's what we discovered here. So here's the question that I have for us. Let's see if we could do it, make an application of this. What is your most valued possession? Let's talk about let's look at ourselves. What is most valuable to you? And then the next question, which is even more important, would you give it to Jesus? Oops. We had to apply this somewhere, didn't we? It's all a beautiful story. I love those Bible stories. They're great. Except for when I have to search my heart and ask myself, do I have this kind of a perspective of Christ? To where my most valued possession is nothing in comparison to my relationship with Him. This is what's going on. What would you give for Jesus or to Jesus as a form of worship? And I started thinking about this, and I think for some people, your most valuable possession may be your bank account. For some people. Some of you are looking at me kind of funny. We're trying to relate it to value or to worth, what something is worth. Do you know the word worship comes from worth-ship, the cognate worth? How do we express value today? So I go to the store and I like these shoes. I forget, you don't mind if I take my shoes off of you. I looked at these one day. I found these. Oh, Rockport. You know, teachers are on their feet all day long. And so you got to have really comfortable shoes. So I found nothing else works because if I wear anything else, my feet really hurt. So I go down to the Rockport store and I see the price and, you know, whatever it is, let's just make up $100. I didn't pay that much, but let's make it up. I have to determine whether those shoes are worth $100 of my hard-earned money. And if they are, what am I going to do? I'm going to express the value of those shoes by my money. That's how our economy works. It used to be where they would barter for things. So you'd go to the store back in Jerusalem in the times of Jesus and you saw a pair of sandals and they said that was worth X amount of denarii, if you will, but you didn't have coins or monetary, you know, bills. So you gave three chickens. Three chickens equal one denarii or something to that effect. What am I saying? What do you guys understand what I'm trying to communicate? Everything has value and worth. Whatever that value and worth means to you, you will express it in some form of payment to obtain it, to express what it's worth to you. Worship at its root is expressing worth. What is the Lord worth? For Mary, it was nothing to pour out her most valued possession. It was her dowry. You go a little bit into the history of the Jews and the ladies and the women of that time, they had a dowry, and I hope you understand what that is. It was given to the husband, or the husband was received this dowry, and it was kind of like best way I could describe it would be a social security, if you would. If something were to happen to him, she would have some form of resources. She wouldn't be left without anything and abandoned totally. Supposed to have been kept. Notice he used the word, she kept it for my burial. She took what was kept for her and gave it to him. So, the question then is, what would you give in your expression and in your love and in your worship, your adoration of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we are supposed to worship. We call this place a house of worship. The topic today in America that's very seldom spoken about. Because we don't live in a culture that's about giving, it's about taking. What can I get out of it? What's in it for me? How much can I obtain? Do you see the difference in thinking here? So, Mary, I say, gave her best. She poured out her best. And Jesus, to her, was more valuable than her personal property or her financial security. And she understood more because, and she understood that concept, because where was she? She was at having the greatest understanding because she spent her time at the feet of Christ. She had a special insight that no one else had. Even though Jesus, on a number of occasions in his ministry towards his disciples, told them that I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be put to death, and then 3 days I'll rise again. He told them to his own disciples many times in the Gospels, but she seemed to get it. She understood that one valuable thing, and she expressed the knowledge of that fact of his death and resurrection, understood it, because where was she? She was at the feet of Jesus. And she anoints him with oil before his death. Wait a minute. You don't anoint people with oil before they're dead. The whole point of anointing them with oil was that when the body once began to, what, corrupt, you would put it on as a way to kind of mask the odor, if you will. But she knew something. He wasn't going to be there long enough to, what? To rot. So she anoints him with the oil, knowing he'll raise in 3 days. It's an expression of worship, knowledge, understanding, and perspective, which we get from listening at the feet of Christ. That's the only place you're going to ever get it. Sitting. You know, there have been a lot of times as a pastor, I don't look that old, but I'm getting there. I've done this for a few years. I have some experience. And you have young, rambunctious people wanting to immediately get in and serve and become a teacher and do this and do that. And I say, hold on. I think what I'd like for you to do is sit a while. I've said it. What do you mean sit? All I want you to do is sit in those pews. And I want you to be here on Wednesday. I want you to be here on Sunday. I want you to come to the men's Bible. Just sit and listen for a while. Nope. They're too eager to want to be in the spotlight. I promise you, this is not where you want to be unless you've been called. And if you've been called, I promise you, you want to be prepared. Because when it hits heavy and hard in times of temptation and trials, your stance is going to be determined by how much you listen at the feet of Christ. When you get into that car accident and you're wondering about your health and about your future and about your job and whether or not, right, Debbie? You ain't going to be able to survive those kind of trials unless you've sat at the feet of Jesus and listened. So then when those tough and difficult times come, you're ready and you're prepared, because everything is preparation for something else. Same thing with those of you that may have a sick child and or financial difficulties, whatever it may be, health-related issues. Those difficulties are overcome when you sit at the feet of Christ and listen. Because that faith that you'll need to be able to overcome is garnished and gathered and packed in and reserved, if you will, when you sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his word. I said all that just to get to that. I'm laying the framework from this story of how it works, explaining to you that Jesus recognized and honored this woman, Mary, because what she did was sit at the feet of Jesus and listen and said, and then when she had figured it out, when it had risen in her heart an understanding to what Jesus would go do at Calvary's cross, she poured out on him the best she had to offer. It wasn't accidental. It didn't happen in a moment's instant. It was developing over time. So, she got down on bended knees and she loosened her hair. By the way, how much time, I don't want to do this to my sisters in the Lord, but some of you, I noticed that your hair looks really nice today. Would anyone here want to tell me how much time you dedicated to preparing your hair today? Ladies, just someone get bold and tell me. 20 minutes, okay? Anyone else? Yadira? How long? An hour for Miss Eula? Why are you spending so much time on your hair? You should see mine. I just go, I literally shampoo it. I get a little bit of that oil and go, that's it. 20 seconds. It took me longer to find my hair than it did to fix it. See, we have to understand a minute. Hair was a woman's glory in those days. And I still think it is today. Anyone else want to tell me how long they took? Yeah. Lois? 2 seconds. That's why she has a short haircut. Think about it for a moment. Where does her hair go? To the floor. Because that's where his feet are. That's humbling. But she considered him worth that. And considering him worth that made her a worshiper. And she took her glory, which was her hair, and she used her glory to glorify Christ. Now, what is our glory? Well, to some of us, maybe it's our position. Maybe we have a, maybe we're hot shots wherever we work. And the Lord's saying, I want you to give me your job. Well, what do you mean give me? How do you do that? I want you to honor me and glorify me at your job. Maybe you're a good student right now. You're a young person. That's your glory. You've been recognized, I don't know, as a valedictorian, a salutatorian, or you've got honor roll and or something to that effect. And you're studying, you're being a student. The Lord is saying, I want that to bring me honor and glory. The Lord's asking for us to pour out onto Him in some form of worship the value to which He has to us. Amen? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a relationship. He's saying, you know what? You're going to honor me by not being in that relationship. I want that relationship. Or maybe it's the person the Lord brought to you as a, and you become husband and wife, and that relationship, He wants to honor Him. Like a couple, a young married couple, or a couple that may give courses in marriage counseling and what have you. I'm just saying, how do we discover these things? What does it mean for us in the 21st century? Everything and all things can be given to the Lord in some expression of worship that He's worth it. So today's modern terminology is worship says He's worth it. Can you say that? Worship says He's worth it. Amen. It's not costly in that it is costly, but we don't feel the pain because He's worth more. Now, she just didn't use a pinch of the ointment. It says that she poured out the ointment. She actually broke the container and poured it on his feet. And notice what it says there, that the whole house, that's at the end of verse number 3, the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. You know, when you give like this, it's a fragrance that impacts everyone that's with you. Everyone around you, your family, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, anyone that is within the sphere of your influence and has contact with you, they're impacted by your worshiping the Lord. There's a fragrance about you. You smell good. We talked about a couple weeks ago when Jesus said to Martha and Mary and those that were accompanying them to roll the stone away. Remember that? And Martha says, wait a minute, Lord, it's been 4 days. There's a bad odor in there. And I said that sin stinks. Remember that? Well, worship smells good. Well, I'll think about this for a minute. It says the whole room was filled with perfume. Right? Does your life stink? No, seriously. I've heard the terminology. Life stinks. Is there something that smells bad in your life? Is there like tension in the air? And do you feel like possibly your kids are rebelling and or your marriage is on the rocks? You know what the secret is? You know how you can get your whole house to take on the fragrance of Jesus? You say, well, that's a weird connection, Pastor. No, it isn't. You want to smell better? You want life to be this sweet perfume? Right? Seek the Lord. Go to His feet and listen to Him. See, we think that things will get better, our marriages, our kids, and or our finances, if we take some kind of course. Nope. Take all the courses you want to and all the self-help books. You can read them all you want. There's one thing that'll make things smell better, and that is the fragrance of Jesus in your life. You say, well, how's that work? When He blesses and when we worship Him, it impacts those around us. That's the secret. So some people... you'll be amazed at the aroma in your house when Jesus is the focus of your life. That's what happened. Everyone in that room smelt that perfume. And I think they were pleased. You ever go to Macy's or Nordstrom's or something, you know? First thing I do is go right to the cologne. I like myself. I smell good. And people start smiling when you smell good. Do you see, understand here? There's a spiritual lesson to be learned here. The physical laws of this world, the things that are true in this material world we live in, are much more true with the spiritual laws. Everything we experience in the physical laws in the material world have the same correlation to the spiritual world. Jesus told that to Nicodemus. Hey, look at the wind. He speaks and uses the wind as an illustration of how the Spirit works. It's true. If we want our lives to smell better, become a worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me just finish with this because we got a few minutes left. Never fails. When you're worshiping, there's always a critic. Guess who it is? Judas. He sits in condescending arrogance, and he not only questions Mary's actions, but he's questioning Jesus' willingness to accept such a gift. And so what does he say? Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? But he's saying is, why this waste? And that's what people think about your worshiping the Lord when they don't have the perspective of a Mary or the perspective that you have. They think it's a waste. And when they're given a choice between serving God and or serving their money, Judas chose money. He chose money over the Lord. So people who don't love God or understand His ways always see worship as a loss of time, as a waste of money. So what we have in this picture is this false idea that, hey, we could have given the money to the poor. There's a lot of poor people. But he didn't really care about the poor. He's fake. The kids say he was a poser. He was pretending. He wanted to look good and say that the poor had need, but yet the reason for it, according to John's gospel, was simply that he said this not because, verse 6, not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he was the treasurer for these 12 disciples, he used to help himself to what was put into it. He used to take from this bag that belonged to the group. He was a thief. He didn't care about it. He just said, man, we could have sold that. There would have been more money for me to choose from. And I love the way that John writes that in. So here's what we have. When we compare Mary and Judas, one's a worshiper and one's a thief. One gives in sacrificial honor and the other seeks personal gain. One demonstrates the way that grace works, and the other demonstrates the way of sin. Selfishness versus selflessness. I don't know about you this morning, but I hear the Lord telling us to be selfless and to pour out on Him our love and our faith by our actions. Give Him the best. Because He gave us His best. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're so thankful for these narratives in the Bible, Lord, where we can see and understand and be explained how things work in Your kingdom, what it is that pleases You, and what it is, Lord, that brings Your wrath upon us. We're so thankful for our Lord Jesus that Mary recognized that He was going to be the lamb that was going to be offered up on Calvary's cross for the sins of the world. And she expressed her gratitude and her thanksgiving and her faith and love by giving to Him that which was most valuable to her. Showing us all, some 2,000 years later, what it truly means to worship and why it matters. We're still talking about her now. And You have honored her and eulogized her so that we, Lord, can make these remarks and comments today, understanding without a doubt that You are worth everything. Thank You, Father, for pouring out Your life for all of us. Thank You, Lord, for giving us the best that heaven had to offer in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to be a people that respond and react in the like manner. And we'll praise You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.